We're continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And in the first chapter of that book, the Apostle Paul tells them that he is laboring for them until Christ is formed in them. We all want to see the character of Jesus in our lives. That's the goal of a disciple, is to be like the Master. And I want to challenge you today. I want you to understand today that if we're going to be more and more like Jesus, then that fruit of the Spirit that's listed out for us in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that needs to be seen in our life. That reveals so much of the character of Christ. And if we are truly becoming more like Jesus, then we're going to see this fruit in our life more and more and more. You can't be like Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit, and we can't bear this fruit in our life without the help of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you again this morning, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 33, he says, either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Now notice he says, make the tree good and its fruit good. How do you make the tree good? Did you know we have two family trees? If you're born again, you got two family trees. Some people like to brag about their ancestry, and maybe they have some famous people in their ancestry, but I got to tell you, one way or another, we all go back to Adam and Eve. Amen. Everybody in here, we all go back to the same two, Adam and Eve. But we also have a spiritual ancestry. If you're born again, the Bible tells us that we have been born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit of God, born of Him. That is our spiritual ancestry. And so we need to understand, yes, we have that old ancestry. We got that old nature, but we have a new nature. We've been born of Him. And so each and every day of our life, we want to learn to live out that new nature in our life. And it takes the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. See, how do you make the tree good? You make the tree good by allowing the Holy Spirit to live big inside of you, to allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you instead of that old nature. That old nature, that's the bad tree with the bad fruit. Amen. The new nature, that's the Holy Spirit inside of the believer. So today we're going to look at the fruit of goodness. Goodness. I knew y'all would get all excited about that. But I want to tell you what a difference goodness can make in our lives and in our world. We tell our kids, now y'all be good, right? But, you know, the world we live in, a lot of times people will make fun of you for being good. They say, some people you got to pay to be good. Some people will be good for nothing. Yeah. Anybody ever heard of a goody two-shoes? I guess that's kind of an old thing. Some of us remember that, goody two-shoes. You know what that is? That's what you call somebody who's a better person than you are. Yeah. Anybody ever heard of a do-gooder? I want to be a do-gooder. You know why? Because Jesus was a do-gooder. He went about doing good. We want to be like Jesus. Amen. But when we talk about goodness, we're not talking about being good some of the time or doing a good deed once in a while. Goodness in the scripture means to be intrinsically good. It is when it is our nature to do good, to be good through and through. See, we talked about that good tree. It's got to be good through and through for us to bear this fruit in our life of goodness. Anybody can be good on occasion. Even the worst of the worst can be good once in a while. But it takes the Holy Spirit for us to be good through and through. Jesus said in Mark 10, 18, no one is good but one, that is God. There's a whole lot of Christians today, believers so-called, who don't agree with Jesus on a whole lot of things. And this is one of those things that a lot of believers don't believe. But this is what Jesus said. He says, there's no one good but one, that is God. God alone is good. That tells me that the biblical standard of good is quite different from the world's standard of good, or even the religious standard of good. He's talking about something different than just doing some good things. It reminds me of the ones Jesus said, I never knew you. They did some good things in his name, but they weren't really good. And I'm just telling you, this is something more when we're talking about goodness this morning. We're talking about being good. We're not talking about the good old boy kind of good. Okay. I'll tell you, we're talking about something more than that. We're talking about the good that can only come when we let God live on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, no one but God is good. But if he lives in you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, God lives inside of us by his Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So can we be good? Yes, we can. Can we have goodness in our life? Yes, we can, because God lives inside of us. But we can't do it on our own. It can't be done with human effort. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes about his old nature in Romans 7:19. He says, the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. And you know what? We've all been there. We try. We try to be good. Try to be good. I want to challenge you this morning to do more than try to be good this week. Amen. Because, you know, we all know what happens. We try to be good, but so often we fail. We mess up. We blow it in some way. That old nature can't ever win that battle for very long, because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for us to truly be good the way the Bible tells us to. Romans 3:12, the scripture says, there is none who does good, no, not one. Again, this is the word of God. Oh, now I know this guy, you know, he may not be a Christian, but he's a good guy and he does a lot of good things. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. There's none that does good. No, not one. Because our righteousness will always be filthy rags to a holy God. And the only way we can be righteous is by faith in what he has already done for us. And the only way that we could ever really live good and have this fruit of goodness in our life is through the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen. You know, the word good is just one of those Bible words that's been cheapened by the way that we use it today. It's an adjective that we just use for all kinds of things, you know. A good night's sleep. I hope you got one last night. A good cup of coffee. Good food. You can have too much of a good thing, right? And a lot of us have, you know. A good car. You know how you really know what a good car is? You really know when you had a bad car. It's a comparative thing, you know. When you've had a bad car and then you get a good car, then you really appreciate it. But we use that word really to mean better than some others. It's a comparison thing. Like we go to the store, we're going to pick out some fruit, we're going to get some apples. Well, this one's got a spot on it. It's not any good. Oh, this one looks good. It's a comparative thing. And that's the way we even do it with people. Well, let me give you one more example. A young man in his 20s, he hears about a management position open at a convenience store. And they say it pays $45,000 a year. And he says, wow, that's a really, really good salary. A middle-aged man, used to making six figures. He hears about the same position, making $45,000 a year. He says, that's no good. I'm just telling you, it's a comparative thing. And when it comes to good, that's kind of the way we look at it. I mean, everybody's a good person. Have you ever been to a funeral where they said, well, they were a bad person? No, they always say they were a good person. Even if they weren't even a believer and they weren't any good at all, they'll find something somewhere that they can say good about them. They're a good person. You know, I tell you, there's a lot of people betting their eternity on whether or not they were 51% good. We won't ever get it. Right. We do this comparison thing, you know. Well, they're a good person. Yeah, everybody's better than somebody. I mean, if you got to, you compare them to Hitler. But everybody's better than somebody. He's a good person. It's a comparative thing. But God is the one who sets the standard for good. He himself is the standard for good. And is he ever good? Goodness comes from God. Psalm 31 and 19 says, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you. How great is his goodness for us. Psalm 33 and 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you see it? Oh, there's so much evil and wrong in this world. Don't let it blind you to the goodness of God. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes you're looking by faith, but I'm telling you, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And how much we need to tell other people how good our God is. You know, in the book of Exodus, when Moses asked to see the glory of the Lord told him he would show him all of his goodness. You know what? I think we get to see the goodness of God every day in our life, but the way he treats us and the way he blesses us, we get to see the goodness of God. Amen. You know how we need to tell others, the Lord's been so good to me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 and 8. Yeah, we need to tell other people. Oh, you got to try the Lord. Taste and see. If you knew what I knew. We need to be telling other people how good the Lord is. And even when you're going through a dark time in life and, you know, everything looks wrong, everything looks bad, you need to remember the goodness of the Lord. I love this verse from the psalmist David in Psalm 27 and 13. He said, I would have lost heart, would have given up unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When things look dark, when it looks bad, here's what you believe. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. This isn't the end. God will turn it around. I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living as he is good. And you know, when we say God is good to us, God's been good to me. Amen. Anybody else? God's been good to you? You know what we're saying? God has done good to you. God has done good to me. When we say, God's been good to me, we're talking about how he's blessed us. We're talking about all the things that God has done for us. Right. And you see, we need to understand that when we have this fruit of goodness in our life, we are, yes, morally upright. But we are also good to others in a tangible way. We benefit others. Being a good person is not just a neutral thing. No, it is something that affects those around us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to remind you that it is the Holy Spirit inside of you that this new creation is manifest in your life, that you're a born again child of God. See, God formed us. Sin deformed us. Christ transforms us into a new creation. We're not the same old person. We haven't just been rehabilitated or retrained somehow. We've been transformed. And here's what the Bible says about these new creations that we are. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for, what for? For good works. That's right, for good works. This is what he's created us for, that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our Heavenly Father created us to do good works. And you know what? When you fulfill the purpose of God, what's his purpose? Good works. When you fulfill the purpose of God in your life, you find great joy in life. You see, when we're doing good works, we're serving the purpose of God. We're living up to what He has called us to do. What an amazing life when we do the things that God created us to do. And you know, a lot of the time, religion just focuses on the don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of things in the scripture the Bible says not to do. But here's the thing. When we get busy doing good works, doing the things that we're supposed to do, we just don't have time for all of that other stuff. It's not a matter of, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. No, it's a matter of I get to do this and I'm part of this and God is doing this. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not just I'm trying to be good. Oh, no. We're letting God have His way and being used of God to do good works. So do good. This fruit of goodness, it can be seen in every area of our life if we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Goodness. That's when everybody else might cheat, but you don't. Goodness is when you tell the truth, even if it's going to cost you something. Goodness is when nobody's looking, nobody's going to know, and you still do the right thing. That's goodness. Goodness is doing the right things for the right reasons. See, sometimes people do the right thing, but they got an ulterior motive. Goodness is doing the right things for the right reasons. Goodness is not having anything bad to say about anybody, but also having something encouraging to say. Goodness is leaving others a little better when we cross their path. Goodness is being a blessing to others. Now, if we have goodness in our life, then we're not going to be a harm to others. It certainly is the absence of evil, the absence of bad. But it also is a positive force that causes us to benefit others. So, are you going to be good this week? Are you going to be good this week? You know, to most people, that means, yeah, I'm not going to do anything bad. That's generally the way we think of being good. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything bad. It's more than that. It's not just not a negative, it's a positive. It's something that we do. And it benefits those around us. James 4:17. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's not a matter of just not doing the don'ts. No. We got to do good works. We got to do the things that God tells us to do. Just as when we say, God has been good to me, means that He's blessed me. I have benefited from the Lord. He's been good to me, literally, shown me His goodness. You see, when we're good, it comes out that way to other people. This is a fruit that blesses everybody around us. Acts 10:38 sums up the ministry of Jesus this way. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. I want to tell you, the goodness in Jesus benefited the demon-possessed. The goodness in Jesus benefited the sick. The goodness in Jesus benefited the poor. The goodness in you and me will benefit those around us. It is, yes, the quality of moral uprightness, but it is also beneficial to others. And the Holy Spirit working through us will benefit our family. He will benefit our co-workers, our neighbors, our classmates, those that are in need, maybe even our enemies, amen, because the Holy Spirit is working in us. They're better off because we cross their path. When I think of goodness, I always think of my grandmother. She was such a sweet and kind person. She raised six kids that were not hers and one who was. Seven children she raised, in all kinds of hardships and difficulties. And yet she was always good. She showed such goodness to those, everybody that knew her. She served at her church. She's always making things for people, always cooking a meal for somebody, taking her friends to the doctor, waiting for them for hours while they waited for the doctor. I'm just telling you, she was one of those people that everybody around her benefited from having known her and been around her. And I'm just telling you that that same goodness, that's supposed to be in every one of us. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, that's who we're supposed to be. It should show in the way we treat our family, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, the way we treat the lost. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read 7 through 10. I want you to keep in mind that the fruit of the Spirit is given to us in Galatians chapter 5, at the end of chapter 5, and this is just 7 verses into the next chapter, and he says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith." He tells us in chapter 5 what the Spirit produces. And then he tells us here that if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap life. We're going to reap all kinds of blessings. That's good seed that we're sowing. But if we sow to the flesh, if we allow that old nature to drive us instead of letting the Spirit lead us, then we're going to reap corruption. We're just going to reap more and more of the same. Oh, we want to have a good harvest come in. Amen? And we do that when we allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And we see this in our life. Goodness. And here in these verses, he actually mentions this. He says, don't be weary in doing good. You got to keep on doing good. I want to focus on verse 10 for a moment. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. So how often should we do good? He says, as we have opportunity. Every opportunity. In Ephesians, he says, make the most of every opportunity. See, a lot of times we miss opportunities, and you know why we miss opportunities? We weren't looking for them. What if you were looking for opportunities to do good every day? I think we ought to pray. Lord, show me what good I can do today. Don't miss an opportunity. As we have opportunity, there's always opportunities to do some good. We got to be looking for them. Sometimes we think we're too busy. Well, we're just too busy then. Because we need to slow down and look for opportunities to make a difference. What good can I do today? John Wesley said, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can and all the times you can to all the people you can as much as you ever can. Every opportunity. And who do we do good to? He says, do good to all people. All people. Not just the ones we like. Not just my four no more. Not just those that have been good to us. Not just those that might be able to do something for us in return. He says, do good to all people. Amen. In this series, several times we've been to Matthew chapter 5 and looked at verse 44, and we're going to do it again today. Jesus speaks so clearly to this issue. He says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Do good to those who hate you. This is really the hardest one here. Let me tell you why it's the hardest one. Because it's the hardest one to get around. See, we can say we love our enemies. and just kind of keep it as a theoretical thing. And we can speak a blessing out of our mouth, though it may be insincere, and we can offer a prayer for them. But to actually do good to them, you just can't really get around that. To do good to those who hate you. Wow. How can we do that? We need the Holy Spirit inside of us. As I'm telling you, that's not our old nature. Do good to those who hate you. We've all been hated one time or another. I personally have never experienced hate from an atheist. I know it happens. I'm saying I personally have never experienced it. I personally have never experienced hate from a Muslim. I know it happens. I haven't experienced it. In fact, every time I've ever experienced hate, it was from a Christian. And I still go to church. Isn't that amazing? Carmen and I know what it is. Listen, I thank God for you loving people. Y'all are the sweetest bunch of people, and I mean that with all my heart. I don't just say that to your face. I say it behind your back all the time. And I thank God for you. But years and years ago, Carmen and I can tell you what it was like to walk down the hall of the church and feel the hatred. And it goes back a long ways. I remember before I even was full-time in ministry, worked at a bank, and there were some Christians of other denominations and beliefs, and they didn't agree with me about some things, and they would probably say that they didn't hate me, but I can tell you it sure felt like hate when they tried to get me fired. But here's what Jesus says about that. Do good to them. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to all. And all, that includes those who have wronged us, those who have hurt us, those who don't deserve it. Everybody. See, we live in a wicked, evil world. But we can't allow the world and the influence of the world on our old nature to control us. But instead, we got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to have His way. Don't just react to people, but instead we respond as the Holy Spirit leads us to. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil. How? With good. You just start looking for the word good in the New Testament and you'll be amazed how often you see this. How do we overcome all this evil in the world? Good. That's how. That's what the Bible says. Listen, you can't overcome hate with hate. You can't overcome anger with anger. Listen, you overcome evil with good. They mistreat you when you're wrong. People don't deserve it. Wicked, ugly people. Do good to them. Amen. Back to Galatians 6:10. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Especially those of the household of faith. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our church family. We need to go out of our way, especially those who are of the household of faith. There's this strange thing happening in religious America where they say, well, you know, I'm tight with Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with the church. Jesus loves the church and gave Himself for her, and the church is the only thing down here going up there. And that old bitterness and ugliness, you know, in fact, it's just kind of hip and cool to say, you know, I don't need all that church stuff. Me and Jesus. That is a deception from the pit of hell to weaken the body of Christ and to isolate people. Yes. We are brothers and sisters. We are in this all together. And we need to do everything we can to help one another. Especially the household of faith. You do good to your brothers and sisters. Back to verse 9, he said, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Oh, sometimes you're just looking at things in the natural, you can get weary. Don't grow weary while doing good. In due season, we shall reap if we don't lose heart, if we don't give up. You know, if you get you some seeds and you go plant them in your garden or plant them in the flower bed, I'm not talking about where you cheat and you go down here to the nursery and you buy a plant this big. Okay, forgive me. Don't get offended. But you get you some seeds. See, he's talking about sowing and reaping. You get you some seeds and you go stick them in the dirt and you water it and hopefully you get a little sunshine on it. And after a little while, it starts to grow and eventually you get a harvest. Well, I'm gonna do some good. I'm going to try this. I'm going to be good. I'm going to do some good. The next day. Well, that didn't work. Nothing happened. Even the next month. Well, I tried that for a while. I tried being good. I didn't see any harvest in my life. I'm telling you, there's a harvest that's coming. You got God's word on it. In fact, he says, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're also going to reap. And we aren't good just so we get something back in return. But here's the thing. When we're good, God sends us a harvest of goodness back in return. Everybody's got a harvest. Everybody's got a harvest. To some degree, we're eating our harvest right now from what we've sowed. Might need to go back and do some uprooting. It's called repentance. But you also need to start sowing that good seed, expecting a harvest. Back to verse 8, he says, or excuse me, if this is Ephesians 6:8, man, this one's really good. You got to see this one because if you believe the Bible, this is an absolutely amazing promise. Ephesians 6:8, he says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he'll receive the same from the Lord. Amen. Wow. Whatever good you do, you're going to receive the same from the Lord. Right. He says, whether bond or free, slave or free, doesn't matter if you're the boss or the employee, if you're the student or the teacher, the husband or the wife, the parent or the child, every walk of life, here's what the principle is. You're going to reap the same good. Whatever good anyone does, he'll receive the same from the Lord. What a wonderful promise. We could say with David, Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. If we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, we can see this fruit developed in our life. Each and every day makes a difference in this world. I want to talk to you for just a minute about how we can cultivate this fruit in our life. See, because when we're born again, that doesn't mean that everything goes automatic. You can still live that same old nature. You can still be ugly and hateful and mean. You can still have that same old person, or you can choose to allow that new nature, the person of the Holy Spirit inside you, to live inside and to lead and guide and direct your life. That's why the scripture tells us, walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit. You see, it's something that we have to actively do, that we choose that. We walk in the Spirit. We still have a free will. So how do we do this? First and foremost, we need to spend time with the Lord. The more that you are in the presence of God, the more you're going to become like Him. The more that you behold His face, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, the more that we are spending time in the presence of God, in our personal devotional time, in coming to worship, however we do that, but the more that we're with Him, the more that we're around Him, you know, The Bible says that bad character will corrupt you. You're hanging out with the wrong people, it can bring you down. But I want to tell you something. When you're hanging out with Jesus, it is more than an influence. It is a powerful transformation that takes place in your life. The more that you're around him, the more that you're with him. And next, we need to always realize it's important what you put in your heart. You got to change the tree from the inside out. Jesus says in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. You see, born again or not, if you're always filling up your heart with garbage, there's all kinds of garbage. There's pornography. There's all kinds of anger and stuff being spouted all the time in our world. All kinds of garbage, greed, it's all around us. And if you're always putting in all this garbage into your heart, guess what's going to come out? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. In fact, Jesus says all these evil things come out of the heart. So it's the Holy Spirit. It's as we walk in the Spirit. But you can't be feeding your heart all kinds of garbage and expect a different outcome. So it's so important what you put down in your heart. And last, remember, it's the Holy Spirit is the only way. Goodness isn't just an action. It's not an act. It's who you are. It's who he is in you. And it has to come from the heart. Religion will never make you good. If it would, the Pharisees would have been really great guys. They were not. It takes the Holy Spirit to make somebody good. None is good but God alone. I read about a man, though, in the book of Acts, who the Bible says was good. Acts 11:24. It's talking about the man Barnabas. It says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. You know why he was a good man? He's full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what it takes. You can't do this on your own. You got to be full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. You don't need a little dab of the Spirit, a little taste of the Spirit. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit if you're really going to see this fruit develop in your life. Full of the Holy Spirit. It's available to all of us. Listen, if you haven't received the fullness of the Spirit in your life, you need to pray and ask that God would give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Know how we need the Holy Spirit to live in us. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come.